Today we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be looking at 17 through 32. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Let's pray. Father, may our time that we meet together around your word be profitable. May we apply this to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's two key words that you will hear a lot around here, and that's growth and change. Of course, especially these 6 weeks. Our sermon series is on the matter of growth and change, changing to be more like Jesus Christ. When we talk about growth and change, we're talking about a doctrine called progressive sanctification. A long word, and we're going to define it according to what Jay Adams actually said this week. But we need to be growing and changing to be more like Christ in our thinking, in our attitudes, in our words, and in our actions. Jonathan started off by first establishing the need for change. And he talked about how the greatest need is our own hearts. And we desperately need God to transform our inner man, to change us, to give us new life. And that's where we came to know Christ. We need it desperately. And then he went on to talk about how God made it possible for us to change. We can say no to sin. Sin is no longer our master. Jesus Christ is now our Lord and Master. And we have the strength, the enablement through the Holy Spirit, with the power of God, to say no. And then last week we looked at this matter of effort. This matter of progressive sanctification is not just saying, let go and let God. I just sit back and God just grows me up, kind of like riding on an elevator, upward and onward. No, that's not how the Christian life works. The Christian life and living for Jesus Christ and growing and changing, it takes effort. You don't just slide into sanctification. It takes a lot of hard work. It's grueling. It's a grueling process. The older that I get, the more I realize that Jonathan also pointed out a very key ingredient earlier in our service. In order to change, in order to grow in our faith, we need humility. We need to put away our pride, and we need to see ourselves for what the Word of God says. We need to humble ourselves before God and be willing to change. No excuses, no blaming our faults on our parents or others, but humbly admitting that we need to change and go at it and be willing to change. Sanctification, according to Jay Adams, is this. Sanctification is a lifelong process of replacing old unbiblical habits with new righteous ones. And I think that's a very good lead-in to our text before us today, and you'll see why in just a moment. But as we look at this matter of growing and changing and being more like Christ, number one, we see from our passage, and we're not going to deal very much with this, but verses 17 through 19 talk about the fact how not to live. And boy, when you start, as you look at what Jonathan posted on the screen or look, the verses that he read earlier from Ephesians 1, you see about all that we are in Jesus Christ. And then chapter 4 goes on to say, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. He's been just talking about in chapters 1 through 3 about this calling and what's involved in being a Christian. And now he said, let's live a life that is equal to our calling. Live a life that's worthy of our calling. And then he says in verse 17, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord. In other words, he's got some pretty good backing here. The Lord is backing him on this insistence that we no longer live like the unsaved people around us. We need to live different lives. And how does this living look like as we look at those unsaved that are around us? Well, here is the description, and it's not very pretty. Paul says, they live in the futility of their thinking. Futility. To live in futility of mind. To live without any regard for God. To live for selfish gratifications and fleeting pleasure. To live according to a world's philosophy that leaves God out in the futility of their minds. Second, he goes on and says in verse 18, in the darkness of their understanding, the god of this world has blinded their minds. The lights went out spiritually. They are living in darkness. Third, they're walking in alienation from the life of God. Fourth, they're walking in ignorance due to their hard hearts. They're walking in callous sensuality and insatiable moral impurity. So it's amazing. It starts with their thinking. Look, the futility of their thinking, and it ends with a lifestyle that has gone wild. Someone has said this. The first time a person commits a sin, he thinks, I'll just do it this once. But after he does it, his conscience bothers him. He feels guilty, but the next time it's a bit easier. He rationalizes it by thinking, well, others do worse. Each time it becomes easier to sin as his conscience develops a spiritual callous. Finally, he gives himself over to sin with abandonment. He has no shame about it, and then he goes on TV shows to boast about it. I mean, that's kind of how the progression and how it works. At first, oh, I don't want to do that. It's not good. It doesn't feel good. I don't like the way it leaves me feeling. But then after a while, you just do it enough, you can become calloused and then openly do it without even flinching. Paul says, don't live like that. That is not the way a Christian should be living. And he goes on then, and where we want to really center our time, especially in verses 20 through 24, and then make application kind of in verses 25 through 32. But the second point in the outline is how to change. Yes, we want to learn about how to live, but we want to learn today, how can we grow? How can we change? And I want you to put this down. We need to live by the principle, put off and put on. Put off and put on. Kind of sounds strange, but we're going to see what that means in just a moment. This is also called the replacement principle. So the put off, put on principle, or the replacement principle. Behind this principle lies the fact that there are always sinful attitudes and actions that we need to put off and positive traits that we need to put on. In this passage, we're going to see, according to verses 22, 23, and 24, we're going to see a progression about how we can go about changing. Number one, or the first step in how to change begins by putting off. Okay? We're going to keep our outline simple today. Last week, my wife said it was kind of complicated, so I wanted to dumb it down a little bit for my sake. And I want to just make it simple so that we can go away from something here. Put off, put on. But the first step is change begins with putting off. If you want to grow and change, something has to be put off. Well, the question is, what needs to be put off? Change begins by putting off sinful desires and habits. Here it's referring to putting off the old self, the natural tendencies, the natural man's kind of stuff, wrong thinking, wrong attitudes, wrong action. That's natural with us. That's the selfish part of us. That's the part of us that's not been transformed by the renewing of the mind, by Christ's work in our hearts and lives. Put off the old self. It's kind of like the imagery here Paul is using of taking off the old clothes. Taking off, putting off the old, soiled, dirty, filthy, rotten, scummy clothes. And he's saying that it's characterized by corruption and deceitful desires. That characterizes the old self, corruption, feeling-oriented, deceitful. And so Paul says, put it off. He's saying, you are not the old man, but he's saying you have still many habits that are hanging on from those old man days. In other words, we carry a lot of baggage into our Christian life. This morning, you may be transformed. You may be a new creation in Christ Jesus. You may be saved. You may be born again. However, you still have things that need to be changed in your life. It doesn't automatically happen the moment you become a believer. When you're saved, you don't go home and your house is already cleaned up. Your checkbook is balanced and the odometer on your car goes back to zero. Okay? That's not how it works. When you're saved, great things take place. But there's still a lot of work to be done. Those old ways of responding in anger, those jealous patterns that we have developed, those habits of laziness need to be worked on. Paul says that has to be put off. Put off. But the thing is, we're no longer by ourselves in doing it. Now you have the Spirit of God, and we're going to be talking about that the next couple weeks. You now have the Spirit of God to empower you. You have the Word of God to instruct you. You have the Son of God interceding for you and acting as your model. You have the God the Father answering your prayers and providentially controlling what comes into your life. But you are still fighting against those habits of the old man. Let me give you the illustration about this illustration of putting off. When I worked on the farm, as I was growing up in upstate New York, I worked on a farm for the summers following my before the freshman year, all the way up through college. And when I would get home from a day on the farm, my mother would meet me at the door, and she'd say, let's go out there and let's get the hose out. And she got the hose out, and she just sprayed me. She sprayed my clothes off, she sprayed me off, and she said, okay, now you can come in the door. Now, there were other times when if it wasn't convenient, it was a little bit cold or whatever, she would have mercy on me. She would let me come in just inside the door on a special mat prepared for me. And she'd send my sisters off somewhere else, and I would take my clothes off down to my boxers, and she would wrap me around with a towel, and she said, now get in the shower. I can't stand the smell any longer. I can't stand the clothes. And she would take those clothes out. She probably wanted to burn them, but she had to do something special with it. I don't know what she did, but she took care of it. Soaked them in stuff, whatever, and get the smell out. But it's amazing how I reeked when I came home. My clothes reeked. I didn't notice it because I was in the mess all day, but it was awful. I learned a little bit about putting off smelly clothes. You know, it's amazing. Every week we play basketball here. It's been on Thursday nights, and we've changed a different night. But, you know, I go home after I play basketball, and I have a very loving and gracious wife. But for some reason, when I want to hug her, she doesn't want anything to do with me. You know what she says? My wife learned from my mother, from her mother, get out of here, go take a shower, get your clothes off. I don't want anything to do with you. You know, what kind of love is that? You know, I tell her about this unconditional nature of love that she's not expressing. But she, you know, it just never works. Week after week, get out of here. Don't even touch me. Get your clothes off, get a shower, and then we'll talk. You know, put off. That's really what we need to remember as it approaches to the things that we have been in the habit of doing up to the point where we came to know Christ, and even if we were saved at a young age, our natural tendencies need to be put off. Stop doing them. Put them off. Put off means to divest yourself of something, to take it off. Paul is using the simplest terms to illustrate what we must do in the realm of thought and of the attitudes of life. We must reject those basic assumptions. That's a good point, I guess I'm making. We must reject those basic assumptions that have caused our trouble. Putting them off, rejecting them, divesting ourselves of them, just as you would put off dirty clothes. Because Paul says they're nothing but corrupting or corrupted. Corrupt means decayed, foul. I don't like to be around foul, decaying things. That's the way, if we allow our lives to go unchanged, that's what it looks like. And this is also brought out, you know, we won't turn to it this morning, but Colossians chapter 3 is also a parallel passage of this. It talks about you need to have taken off your old self. You need to remove, first of all, let me just kind of camp on this for a moment. We're still on that first step, putting off. We need to put off sinful thinking. All right, that's, if you were to put a point under that I haven't put it for you, but if you were to put it out, we need to put off sinful thinking. Someone has labeled it, we need to put away stinking thinking. I like that. It's probably even better than I could ever say it. We need to remove stinking thinking. Here's some examples of stinking thinking, all right? What will people think of me? What will people think of me if I go to church on Sunday? What will people think of me if I live in a different way in my school? I love my mate and others as long as they treat me good. That's stinking thinking. I'm right. This should be done my way or I'm quitting. Have you ever heard that before? That's stinking thinking. I have the right to get even. These are examples. I don't feel any love for my mate anymore. If you wrong me, I'll get even. They have more than I do. That's not fair. The reason I am like this is my parents' fault. They were mean to me. They spanked me or whatever they did to me. They grounded me. Everyone else is doing it. I can't accept a God who does that. All of those are examples of sinful thinking. Point number two under that first step would be this. Some more things we need to put off. Sinful actions. Oh, sure, I cheated on my taxes, but I deserve a break. Or this one. I had to lie. He made me mad. I usually don't talk like that, but he drove me to it. Harsh words, yelling, clamming up and being bitter. All of those are sinful actions that need to be put off, like dirty clothes need to be removed. But folks, that's just the beginning. If we were to stop right there, we would be kind of on the way to change, but that really would not help us fully. In fact, really, in a lot of recovery programs, that's really as far as what you get. You need to just stop that. Stop that bad behavior, stop the thinking, and then you'll be improving all the time. But we need to go beyond that. Because, in fact, Erwin Lutzer has pointed this out, and he said this, and I really like what he said. If we focus on simply not doing something, we are probably going to do it. The very fact that we are drawn toward it and focusing on it increases the power of the temptation. And so he just says, it's not enough to just stop there and say, put off. What's the second step? Look at according to our text in verse 23. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. Change involves a change in your thinking. So we not only need to put off the wrong thinking and the wrong actions and the wrong attitude, but we need to change our thinking. It really is brought out in Romans. Hold your place here and turn over to Romans chapter 12. This is very, very good. I hope that you'll memorize these two verses, Romans 12, 1 and 2. They will be a great help to you if you do. It says this in Romans 12, 1 and 2, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." And notice this, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world," that which Paul has brought out in verses 17 through 19. Don't conform any longer. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Change needs to begin in our thinking. It must begin here. We could go around encouraging people to change their behavior and all that, but unless they first change here, it will not last. Their behavior will just kind of go back to the way it was. So we need to change our thinking. Change our thinking. What are some examples of right thinking under this particular, the second step, this point? I think these are some good examples of right thinking. What does God think of me? I need to please God. God is in control of everything. Or, I will be faithful to God no matter what. He is allowing this trial for my good. Or here's another one. God has blessed others with abundance. I am really happy for them. God bless them. Not, I want what they have, or I don't want them to have it any longer because it's not fair. Right thinking says, God bless. Rejoices with others who rejoice. Another one is, God, I know you are good, even though I don't feel it right now. Folks, we need to change in our minds. And it comes through the Word of God, reading His Word, studying it, finding out what God is like, finding out what our responsibilities are like, and taking it into our minds. And then in turn, it will change our actions. Which brings us to the third point, and that is the third step. Change involves putting on. So putting off the old thoughts, putting off the old actions, the old attitudes, changing our thinking, and putting on the new actions. We could combine, really, points 2 and 3 and make it as simple as possible, putting off and putting on. Putting on involving change of mind and change of action. The key word here is replacement. If you just say, take off the garments, but you don't replace it, that's not a good thing. You need to replace what has been taken off with the new, with the fresh, with the clean. Do you like new clothes? I do. I like the feel of new clothes. Or also freshly clothes that have been washed and then hung out over the line. Smells great. There's something about that. It feels good, feels much better than the sticky, yucky, you know, and smelly kind of stuff that we've had on before. But the new, put on the new, putting on the new. Something must be put off and something must be put on. Third, let's kind of put this into action, okay? Let's put it down in some practical terms that we can kind of hang and see here before us. Here are some changes in practical areas of our life. Examples of things that must be put on and then put off, or put off and put on, rather. Number one, look at verse 25, what it says. Therefore, each of you, can you still hear me? I've got some competition today. I feel like I need to holler here, but okay. Verse 25, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. The question is, when does a liar no longer become a liar? Not just when he stops lying, but when he does something to transform, to change as well. So here we find we need to put off falsehood and put on telling the truth. If we just go around telling people, don't tell a lie, don't tell a lie, we've not done them a good service. We must say, yes, don't tell a lie, but always tell the truth. Even when you may have to get disciplined. tell the truth. It's always the best policy. In fact, folks, what's helped me is to know I have such a terrible memory that if I lie, I can't remember what I lied, what I said. So I find that just the best policy all the way around is telling the truth always really is the best. So put off falsehood and put on telling the truth. Verse 26 and 27, we find here is the next one. Notice what it says. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Basically, what it's here is put off sinful anger. Put off sinful anger. And put on appropriate anger. Is there an appropriate anger? Is there? What do you think? Yes, there is. We ought to get angry when injustice is done. When we see things that are wrong in our society, we get angry at them. I get angry at abortion. I get angry at mistreatment. Those kind of things ought to make us angry, but we even then need to be careful to not go beyond what Scripture instructs us. So put off sinful anger. Put on appropriate anger. Third, put off stealing and put on honest hard work. Notice what it says in our text before us. He who has been stealing, verse 28, must steal no longer. So put it off. But rather work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. So don't just tell people, stop stealing. You've got to replace that with the right action, and that's honest, good, hard work. Number four, put off unwholesome talk. Unwholesome basically means rotten, corrupt, worthless, disgusting. We need to put that off. Take that garment off. And we need to put on talk that builds others up. This has probably been the single most helpful thought from this passage as it relates to communicating one another, being careful what you say to others. I'm about ready to say something or lash out, and all of a sudden I'm thinking of this verse. It's been great to me. It's been a help to me. Is this going to tear them down or build them up? And so sometimes I just have to be quiet because I know that that's not appropriate, what I'm thinking about doing. And so it says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Lay it aside. Put it off. But only what it's helpful for building others up. I believe if we even put that principle into practice in our marriages and in our families, it would revolutionize our home and the atmosphere of our home. Number five. Here's really a further list of changes that are needed. Notice what it says here in verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness. Here's that putting off concept here. Get rid of it. Bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. But what are we to put on? Kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. So it's a simple principle, but I believe revolutionizing. Put off, put on. In conclusion, while God has supplied us with all the resources necessary to change and grow, we still have to consciously choose to identify sinful thinking and actions and put them off. We have to be willing to look at the Word of God and humbly admit that we have some things that need to be changed in our life. Maybe this morning your thing is anger. Just everything, the slightest little thing that happens, boom, you're angry at anger. Anger starts just coming right out. Angry is being an angry person is a horrible thing. I can't even talk about it, so it makes me so angry. No, anger is an awful thing. And if that kind of rules and reigns in your life, you need to put it off. And you need to be working on self-control. You need to be changing your thinking about it, saying, how is this impacting my family? Is this really what God would be pleased with? And then work at it hard to take care of it. There are many other things here. Bitterness, resentment, a lack of compassion. We need to be humbly willing to admit where we are sinful in these areas and replace them with biblical thinking and biblical actions. What are the habits that you need to work at putting off and replacing with new biblical habits? Where will you begin? Are you willing to change? God has given us the Holy Spirit to enable us to do it, what we can't do in our own selves. He's given us the principles here to abide by, to change. Now it's up to us to put it into practice. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word that really brings it out simply. And yet the tough part is putting it into practice. Getting down to the nitty-gritty and doing the tough stuff. So Lord, I pray that you would please give us the courage, give us the honesty to be willing to see ourselves for who we are. Help us to be willing to ask others in our life that we respect, whether that person that is our accountability partner or a mate or even a child, to ask them and say, hey, am I demonstrating an angry spirit? Am I being a jerk? Father, may we be willing to look at ourselves and change and grow. That is what you want for us. That is what Paul is insisting that we do in light of what you have done for us. We pray this in Christ's name.